The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
And hello and welcome to Podcast Beyond episode 800. I'm your host, Max Scoville, and I'm joined by my good friends, Jada Griffin and Brian Altano.
Hello. Beyond.
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 No, we don't need
Beyond.
To. Don't do that again.
No, we have to do it 800 times.
Don't. Beyond.
We have done, well, somebody's done it 800 times. I've probably done it this, I probably said that word 800 times. So there was a time in history where we would throw some big crazy live event for Podcast Beyond number 800. But the reality is, as you get older, birthday parties sometimes get less exciting. And, you know, maybe you used to get a whole petting zoo at your house, but now maybe you go out for dinner with friends and get a new pair of socks. So that said, I think we're going to have what?
You got a petting zoo?
Yeah. No. Can we rewind a little bit?
Petting zoo?
You got a petting zoo?
No, I never had a petting
How?
Zoo.
Like with a llama and everything?
I never had a petting zoo. I saw
there raccoons?
Mrs. Doubtfire, the kid, had a petting zoo. There. I don't think that. Are they allowed raccoons? Okay, we're getting a little bit off the rails here. The
you can't
point
pet
is,
raccoons. Like,
don't tell Rocket that.
You can pet anything. Anyway, the point is, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. We were sort of initially like, what do you do for episode 800 of a long-running podcast? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we have like a seven-page run of show with a bunch of cool stuff to talk about. And we may not even have time to talk about all of it today, in which case, we'll do a little after party next week. But that said, I wanted to talk a little bit about exactly just sort of the cultural context of the show without being too victory-lappy and back-patty about it. But this was started in June 25th, 2007, which is about 16 years ago.
That's incredible.
15 and change.
Yeah.
That's a long, long time for a show to be running.
I was 3 years old, Max.
I feel terrifically old now.
I'm kidding. I was not 3 years old.
But no, the original lineup was Jeremy Dunham and Chris Roper and Jeff Haynes and a quiet young lad named Gregory Miller.
Yep.
And that was the PlayStation editorial team. Not only do none of those people work here anymore, there also is no longer a PlayStation editorial team.
Yeah.
Gaming has changed a lot. That was back then just an audio thing. A podcast was probably just a shot in the dark to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now we make a video show every week. So, kind of wild to think about all that, but I also wanted to take a look at exactly how much PlayStation has changed.
Yeah.
One thing that PlayStation sort of has a really amazing track record for is slogans. Wait, hold on. No. We got to back this up a little bit. We're getting into this too
There's
fast.
So many things. We're just so excited, Max.
Okay,
we're so excited.
I want to look back at sort of 16 years of Beyond. How old is that in Sony stuff?
Yeah.
It is about 2.5 console generations, but it's actually a lot more hardware than that. It is 6 consoles, depending how you're counting it. There's the PS3, the PS3 Slim, the PS3 Super Slim, the PS4 Slim, the PS4 Pro, and now the PlayStation 5.
And a couple of handhelds and headsets in there.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
No, there's some handhelds. There's the PSP, the PSP Go, the PSP Vita, and the PSP Vita Slim. Not the PSP. What was it? PSP Vita. but there were also like the 3 models of the PSP, like the PSP mm-hmm. 1000, 2000, and 3000. So
yeah.
You can do a lot of goalpost moving and sort of fudging of numbers here. The point is, it's been a lot of gadgets.
Yeah.
It's been, the PSP, the show is actually, it's not older than the PSP. It's older than the Vita and the PSP Go and a bunch of other stuff. 2 VR headsets, PSTV, a gaming monitor specifically for PlayStation. Sony's been busy.
Yeah.
They make
a lot of stuff. Yeah. You're welcome, Sony. Yeah. You're welcome. Podcast Beyond did that for you.
Yeah.
But also, we couldn't have done it without you.
Exactly.
It's incredibly weird to look back at what was going on that long ago. I think we want to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's Beyond is awesome, but like, let's celebrate the history of PlayStation here for
me.
Because like, it's been just immensely cool watching this company grow and evolve and ebb and flow and misstep and then take huge strides and dominate the industry, and so many things have happened. So it's been very, very fascinating to watch.
I think the big thing for me is like, PlayStation has always just been a consistent thing in my life, at least since the PS2 era. Like, I've always had a PlayStation in my house, and like, it's just been kind of one of those staples things. Like, it's like having a toaster. Like, for me, it's like a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things I've always can count on to be there for me.
I mean, the PS3, some people did say looked like a George Foreman grill.
It did.
So you're not wrong. You're onto something.
Let it heat up enough, you could probably toast stuff on it, though.
Yeah.
Void the warranty. Who knows? Yeah. The thing that I also love is that Podcast Beyond, I feel like some of our younger listeners might not even know this, it is named after what was the PlayStation 3 slogan at the time of its inception.
Right.
Which was Play Beyond, but the E was a 3, which was in red because the slogans have a weird history of being one letter is like the E is red, but it was a 3 because it's the PS3. It's a whole weird thing. Sony's had some very weird slogans.
Graphic design.
I thought we'd kind of look back at some of the ones that have happened since Beyond, not just Beyond the show, but Beyond the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Play Beyond was about midway through the PS3's life cycle. There's a bunch of stuff that came before that. It was followed in U.S. commercials by It Only Does Everything, which is just a shockingly ambitious and grandiose statement to make about your product.
It also became an instant joke when the PlayStation went offline for a while, PSN, and everyone was like, it only does nothing.
It does everything but work.
Yeah.
I like that you could hook up a printer to the PS3. I don't know if anyone actually did that, but that is an option.
Yeah, I had the old 60 gig, so I had all the extra media drive spot slots. So I used that to transfer files for years.
You had the backwards compatible.
Yes. Played all my PS2 games
that was the
and
right
PS3
there.
Games on that sucker.
In Europe, there was the game is just the start. Start PS3.
What?
That was their first.
That is not a great one. Is just a start.
Start PS3.
So that's the start of it only doing everything. Because after the game, you can watch a DVD
and print.
Blu-ray. Yeah, you can print.
Take it for a walk. You know,
on the browser, print some websites, whatever. Then there was, of course, Long Live Play, which was a pretty good classic one. Never Stop Playing, which was, I love that that's just like a big.
That was a threat.
I actually took that one to heart, and that's why I play so many games, guys.
Like, why you have all those platinum trophies.
Why I have all those platinum trophies.
That feels like, you know, it's like it only does what Nintendo don't. At the time, like the Wii would be like, hey, you've been playing for a while. Why don't you go get some fresh air? It was like, never stop. Don't go outside.
Lock the door.
Quitting is not an option. That's like a tap out shirt. Like, what is
that? Then there was Greatness Awaits, which was
another one that got made fun of. Every time a game got delayed, people would be like, more like Greatness Waits.
I never saw that. I never saw those memes. Yeah, I never saw those memes.
Oh,
like
man.
Waits, but that's a good one.
You've been shielded from some of the funniest. Sort of,
there's the little spin-off slogans. There's the PlayStation Move, which was, this changes everything, which could be said of literally any action in the course of history. Anything changes everything. But sure, the PlayStation Move, that changed. What did that change?
That changed the way that people decided to spend their money on PlayStation.
It changed the way that I didn't get new controllers when I got a PSVR. I had to go on GameStop and buy used ones in a Ziploc bag from 10 years before.
Yep. Then there
about that.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Move into the action, which is...
Move into the attic. You're in big trouble.
Move into the attic.
Move into the action, again, sounds like unsafe recommendations. It's like, if you see a car hurtling towards you, step closer to it.
I don't remember move into the action.
If you see a bunch of people in a fight, move into the action.
Was that the PS Move?
That was PS Move, yes.
Move into the action.
Yeah.
Move into the action. Move out of your mom's house and into the action.
Move and get some action.
Then there was the PlayStation Network, which I think is confusing, as it was Download, Play, Connect.
Should have been...
It was down, play, connect for a while.
It should have been connect, download, play.
And right? PlayStation like, not work.
What do you download? Do you download the network? Like, what?
Download the game, then play it. And then connect with others. That's what was the gist of that one.
That, there are so many mid generation internet buzzwords around that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like download and connect are just words we just do not really use.
And that's why
I always like digital download.
Yeah, digital download.
I like analog downloads. I like to download documents and print them off of my PS3 printer.
Physical download.
Yeah. The PlayStation Vita also did Never Stop Playing, which I feel like was really that. I mean, that made more sense.
Yeah, you know? Take it on the go.
Yeah.
Transferring.
Yeah. Never stop playing, but do stop developing first party software for it within a year.
Sure. Yes, yeah. Why not?
Always.
Yeah. There was also the world is in play.
So.
All right.
What is like, that?
The world.
Is it up for grabs?
Which is weird to have like a territorial slogan that refers to the entire world.
Yeah, that's what they write on that.
The world, guys.
That's what they write on that board game Risk.
Yeah. Like,
did that ever get released on the Vita?
Risk?
Yeah.
Risk? No, that's a game, so it didn't come. I love the Vita.
The two Vita games people waited for, BioShock and Risk. Just yeah. Get enough of it. PlayStation 4, plenty of those. We got See the Future.
I did.
That was a
and
good
that's
one.
That's why I'm here.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah,
that's I think good. They had some good stuff. It's also worth pointing out, like during the PS3, like their you mentioned, like the graphic design, their branding was all like it was red, and then for PlayStation it moved to blue. And at the time of PS3, there was a Nintendo Wii which had the blue light on the front of it,
yep.
And they had the Blue Ocean strategy. And now Nintendo's back to the red thing, and PlayStation's back to the blue thing, and Xbox has just been like green, green, green the
they
whole
had the
time.
Red ring for a little while, but you know.
Oh, they did have a red ring, yeah.
There was Push the Boundaries of Play, which okay, sure. What, and then you know, Greatness Awaits. They kept that one going. Which
I never.
Greatness Awaits is a good one. I like that one a lot.
That one's amazing. Yeah. I like that a lot. But I never liked the of play stuff because it sounds like you're talking to like a toddler. You know, like the rules of play or the state of play. Like I don't like the of play phrase. Maybe I'm alone on that one. But
some of these. They get worse. Then there was This Is Four.
Is They Get Worse one of them?
It gets worse. They get worse. Who are they? PlayStation. No, then there was This Is Four, the players, number four. Like it's a Prince song, which is
yep.
Okay.
Which I think GameStop ripped off partially when they did their whole thing around power to the players. Like
was it power to the players with a number?
I don't think
GameStop
it was.
GameStop 2 coming this fall. There was Where the Greatest Play.
That was written about me.
Yeah.
The Greatest? Yeah.
Yeah, that was written about me.
The Greatest. PlayStation 5 has Play Has No Limits. And then here is your end user license agreement. Please adhere to it before playing.
Mm-hmm. I like Play Has No Limits.
Play Has No Limits.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I love the really grandiose ones are just like they're such just it's just such marketing.
Esoteric. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like just to be esoteric.
I like the sort of mysterious. Like I think Greatness Awaits is like that's what like a like a guy with an eye patch would say to you in a tavern before embarking on a voyage. It's like, would you like to see the world? Greatness awaits.
That one
wouldst thou like the taste of butter? Wouldst thou like to live deliciously? Greatness awaits.
I like that one a lot because it does sound like you're starting a big adventure. And I think that's like when they became really truly synonymous with like a bunch of big kind of like 3D action adventure story driven sad dad games, right, that we all love so
much. We love to be the sad dads.
I am one in real life, and you know what, I'll do one in the video game.
Just
throw the axe at things.
I won't do one in the video game.
That's actually one of the better slides. Do one in a video game. So that's like barely half the slogans that Sony's had in its lifetime,
right,
or since the you know birth of the PlayStation. Going back to the PlayStation 1, I am amazed that the PlayStation was successful because of how they were advertising it, because they infamously there was U, letter U, letter R, word not, and then lowercase e, and then the e would be printed in red, which is supposed to be you are not ready, which again is like
e.
You have
get
to
it.
Decode it. Yeah, this That's... red e.
Well, we
that was the three and beyond was a red three, which was the red.
Yeah, when I remember at the time we all read it as your note.
Yeah, no, it looked like your note. And that was only one of them because there was also Enos Lives, which was supposed
what?
To be, it was supposed to be the red E, and then NOS was 9th of September Lives. So.
What?
Yes. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have to explain this to me better.
Ready, red E.
Okay.
Not 9th of September.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it just
so PlayStation
like...
originally started as the fifth letter of the alphabet.
Sure. It's just
I saw you do the mental gymnastics. Is E the fifth letter?
Check out IGN's top five letters of the alphabet.
We got this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I love you. You like you're not ready is again like it's a code on its, and this is 1995. Like,
right.
They were writing this in magazines and stuff. Like it wasn't viral marketing or anything.
N64 cartridges were so expensive that these slogans could be this bad and the PlayStation could still be successful.
Yeah, that's
how dire things were on the competition side.
I like that they did the marketing thing where it was like the Society Against PlayStation, which is like they made like a fake PlayStation is bad, and then their slogan was "Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation," which is like you could just celebrate your. I mean,
you just say that, hey, we're awesome.
Hey, PlayStation.
I actually kind of like cool. I like that one a lot too, because it's like don't mess with us.
Yeah, you
know? I guess it's a little fair warning to any competitors, like hey,
yeah.
And then there's the little PS1, the little baby one.
The Pizone.
Yeah, the Pizone. That one got Wherever, Whenever, Forever, which sounds like a cross between a Shakira song and one of Vasquez's lines from Aliens, so yeah. I'll take it. It's good.
Did they say Wherever because it was small and you were supposed to like chuck that in a backpack and plug it in somewhere?
Yeah, it was portable.
Yeah, it was portable.
It was a year and a half later when they made the screen. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
But it was, you could chuck it in a backpack and take it with you, which is
I cool. liked. I thought that was an adorable little design.
It was also so small that you'd lose it, and then you'd be like, where is it? And you're like, wherever.
Somewhere.
Behind the couch.
When will I find it? Whenever.
PlayStation 2, one of the first slogan was The Beginning, which is sort of undermines the two.
Yeah.
I would say it continues, but go on.
See it again for the first time.
Why not? There was Live in Your World, Play in Ours, which is
I think that's our
favorite one.
I think that might be the best one.
Yeah. I think that's up there with Greatness Awaits for me. Let us know in the comments, but I think Live in Your World, Play in Ours, and Greatness Awaits are my top two.
Then there was in parentheses. Okay, I love that some of these just look like song titles.
Mm-hmm.
In parentheses, Welcome to the, and then Third Place.
I don't get that because PlayStation 2 was like first place.
I think it was like generation. there's like work or school and
third places are
third place.
Yeah,
third
places are like community areas that we've.
I've never heard that term used like
it's,
that.
It's like a, I mean it's a social structure thing, but also like an architectural or zoning thing.
I guess
but
it's because
like,
I was three at the time, so
yeah,
that's like probably
you stay your home and then you go to work and then the third place used to be
the PlayStation
like,
home.
Yeah. It used to be like rec centers and community places, but they don't have those anymore.
Yeah.
So now you stay home and your third place is on your TV.
People deprioritized making those better because it sounds like they got a bronze medal. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So welcome to third place, which again is you're using a weird numbering convention for this is PlayStation 2, the third place. And it's like, I can see why that went over some people's heads.
Also, like, amazing work that console was in first place that generation because, like, there was a third place that generation.
Yep.
And it could have easily been them with that phrase, and people would have just ran it into the ground making fun of them. But they knew what they were doing.
I like this one. Fun, anyone? It's just like
the residential advisor is like, here. Okay, so that's like the toddler kindergarten.
Like, here you go, Jada. Here's your anyone? PS2 at 3. Fun.
Sprinkles the birthday clown is here.
He's got
fun. Anyone order some fun? I don't.
That's a bad one. Was that for PS2?
Yes.
That was for PS2. There was also...
They must have been crushing it by then.
They didn't give a crap. Riding high. Then there was the ultimate just got better, PlayStation 9. Teleport yours today, which was this famous ad for the PlayStation 9 that was actually for the PlayStation 2, which set some... I mean, I think we're on track to get to the PlayStation 9 based on what we have here. I think we're going to have nano machines that go straight up your nose and then.
Oh, man, I hope so.
VR. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, you
I want this. I want this. I want this BioLink in my for my PS9. Like, I really hope that they take this commercial and they remake it for the PS9 in like 15 years.
It's so utterly bonkers. Years? It's so
15.
I don't know, 18, 20 years. What are we? How far away are we from PlayStation 9?
I mean, it's like 8 or 9.
We're on 5. It's like. They're usually announced every, 7?
You're talking to a person who took a minute to figure out what the fifth letter was.
So, like, let's see. If these console generations anywhere between, let's say, 7 and 8
knows
years,
what
let's
seven
round.
Times 5 is.
So that'd be another 4 generations.
It's really impossible.
So we're looking at, like, 28 to 32
years.
32 years. from that?
Right. No, I'm not going to do that.
Math, kids.
Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 3250.
Where you can learn about your alphabets and your numbers.
Great place to be. Speaking of alphabets and numbers, we got another banger here that was I think I love it. This range from like the most like coked out marketing guy being like, PlayStation, it'll let you rule the world, and then some of them are just like a third grader at like 4:30 on a Friday.
Yeah,
PlayStation Portable. It was PSP. Hell's yeah.
That is 100% written by somebody at Sony's like nephew, like yeah. That came over and is like, hey, I want you to try this new PlayStation handheld we've got. It's called the PSP. Hell yeah!
I forgot about the squirrels in the advertising campaign.
Oh man, the squirrels were great though.
Yeah,
isn't that that was like the Kevin Butler era though, where and so, yes. Like the main PlayStation had like fake corporate guy, and then for the PSP they had that kid from Role Models, I think.
Yes,
who would come out and just be like, support. It's smaller and funnier, just like me. And then the marketing man.
Hell yeah is what
no. Hells with a Z.
Hells yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's what you say in sixth grade when they're like, hey, we're gonna watch a movie and order pizza for the last day of school. You go, hells yeah, I love movie pizza.
No. Fun anyone? Shut up, nerd. Mozzarella sticks anyone?
Hells yeah.
Oh man, dude, get your own.
What was that for PSP?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
Dude, get your own.
Stop trying to borrow my PSP.
Yeah, stop sharing.
You don't take care of your shit. So
wow. That, man.
Everywhere just got better. I like that one. That one's simple.
That's a good one.
To the point.
Mm-hmm.
Then
I like that one a lot for a portable system.
Yep.
That was for the later model PSP and the PSP Go. And then for the Go, there was, it's go time.
That's
corny,
but it works.
Why don't you? PSP Go to the polls. Go time.
They should have worked in a way to vote with that. Might have helped the console out.
Make America greatness away.
Damn it. Again, the UK and Europe with territories with a very specific global message, which was your whole world in your hands.
See, I'm telling you, Europe is just trying to dominate the whole world. It's like all their slogans are like, we're just subtly going to tell everybody that we're going to take over the entire planet.
That's a good slogan, though. I do like that one.
Mm-hmm. It is a good one.
And then there was Step Your Game Up.
That's a bad one.
This was actually a marketing of that movie Step Up.
Yeah,
and it was a partial marketing. They had a PSP Go in one of the scenes, and so it was.
They were also marketing the sixth grader that said, hells yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then early PS3 stuff, there was the wait is over.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Like,
I don't know. What do you do
like,
with that?
What do you do with that? Like,
the wait is over.
The wait is over. Like, yeah, obviously, I've got the console now. Like,
wait, so PS3, the wait is over. PS4, greatness awaits.
They just go back to greatness awaits, I think. Was it? Yeah, the greatest awaits is PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they had greatest awaits tail end of PS3. But did they have it earlier? No, they didn't. I don't know.
We're waiting.
Great work, everybody. Yeah. Yeah, then there was, they start doing the three stuff, the weird silly threes and E's things.
Yeah.
Welcome change, but it just looks like Welcome Chang 3.
I saw that on the
because it was all that Spider-Man font on everything, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with greatness awaits comes greatness responsibilities. No, I'm dead. Then there was This Is Living, which is like, you okay?
You might want to, you know.
Now this is Padres. This is Living. Okay, so yeah, those, again, I really just, I love looking at this entire
It's a Living
section. Yeah. Now that's what I call gaming. I love these. They're so funny. I would love to hear like what our audience thinks. What's the best PlayStation slogan, and why is it "Live in Your World"?
I do think hell's yeah.
PSP awesome. Hell's yeah.
It's such a funny one to me. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Because it's also like there's like the worst person the worst richest guy you know in your town owns a really nice house because he pitched that. Like he was like, hell's yeah. And like just they ran with it and they're like, here's all the cocaine and a couple of houses. Good job, buddy. You did it.
Good God.
Good job, marketing guy.
Okay. So I figure we could just take a personal moment and just contextualize where were all of us when this show started? June 25th, 2007. Ballpark, summer 2007. What was going on in your life?
I was fresh out of high school, a couple years into college, and I was working at GameStop selling all these big games that dropped in 2007 at the midnight launches. So I was in charge of decorating the store and managing the line and losing my voice every other week.
And this was 2 weeks after E3, so you're probably doing tons of pre-orders for all the games.
100%. Announced. Yes, yeah. There were so many.
Because that was a big thing back then.
Yes, pre-orders were massive. And my store was one of the big ones. Like, we got a lot of them because I just knew my shit, as expected. And so, like, everybody's like, oh, okay. And, you know, that's where I was doing that. But yeah, that was a crazy year for just like people coming in.
E3 was weird that year. 2007 was infamously at the Santa Monica Airport for no apparent reason.
Oh yeah,
what?
It was the one. There's like a couple odd years. Like, most of the time it's in LA Convention Center, and then there was a couple years where
the airport.
Yeah, well, I mean, like they, yeah, no, yeah, Santa Monica Airport where they filmed the Johnny Cage scenes in Mortal Kombat the movie, and where Tom Cruise would kept.
I forgot
what are you guys
about
doing over
that.
Here? What are you making? Are you making a movie? No, they did that there. There's like. I mean, I think we're all, honestly, we haven't been doing this long enough to have these horror stories. It's always been kind of at LA Convention Center.
Yeah. I never did any of the weird years.
Yeah, no, we had John on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how it was like the year that it was in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah,
in,
you know, yeah,
whatever. Which is,
and it was
like,
wasn't it in Vegas for a minute, and then was there one in Chicago?
I don't know. It's weird to think about this. It seems completely bizarre. But also the fact that we're used to it being beginning of June, just always.
Yep.
It was E3 2006 was in May 10th, and then E3 2007 was July 11th. So it's like, okay, which weird timing.
So this was right before.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So yeah, I didn't know it was coming down the road. But yeah, how long did you work at GameStop?
10 years.
10 years.
Way too long. 10 years too long.
It's nothing compared to Podcast Beyond. 16 years.
I know. Almost. Get one. Almost. I know.
Ryan, what were you
I'll
doing?
Do better next time. I'll quit and go back.
I had a illustration degree from the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. And we were, I believe, on the precipice of a recession, and no one was hiring artists. And I had just gotten out of like a long-term relationship. So me and my ex-girlfriend broke up, and I was like, I don't know what to do right now. And I was really, I just really reconnected with video games. They'd always been there for me, but it just felt like all the companies were kind of doing a bunch of really cool stuff at the exact same time. And so I got really into video games again, and I was reading about them all the time, and I was like, I want to start a my own video game site type thing. And I was like, I want it to be like humor, comedy focused. And so I'd started working on that and planting the seeds for what eventually went on to be my career. But because maintaining like a website was so expensive back then, like server costs and everything, I had to like sell most of my video games for cash. Ugh. To pay for the server costs to write about video games. And I did that for about...
Did you come into my GameStop to sell? Where were you at?
I went into a GameStop to sell, probably, yeah.
But what store was it?
It was in Northern New Jersey.
Oh, I was in California. We just missed you, probably.
We were so close.
So close.
I want you to continue doing this and just messing with Brian. This
yeah.
is the stupidest thing.
Because it always takes... She did that the other day, and I was just like... You were like, oh yeah, you know what? What year was this? Where was this? Oh yeah, I was right. I was right next door, and I was like, in California. But I was. Oh yeah, you're fucking with me.
I love just short circuiting Brian's brain. Regular.
You're very good at it.
It's fun.
Yeah, and so like eventually within like the next year or so, I got a call from IGN being like, come out here and do this. But I remember just being like totally locked in on video game news at the time, and there were tons of websites, and YouTube was blowing up, and YouTubers were starting, and you know, people were just covering it in all these different ways. And I just thought it was just like the most exciting, inspiring, awesome industry in the world, and just watching all of this stuff happen, and then watching all like the like that was the first time people started like, you know, making fun of it too. Like, you had a platform for it, and like, we had a little bit of social media, but like, people would write funny articles about something stupid that one of the companies did or said, and I was like, oh, I like that. I like that coverage. I like being able to like come in from that perspective. So
that was like a very specific little window where I think it was this sort of peak of like blog culture, you know, like a regular person could make a website and write stuff on there and blow up.
And it would blow
up. Journal was a big thing back then.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But I mean, like, even I don't know, like, I used to read like Sean Baby's website.
Yeah.
That was his like thing he did in his spare time when he wasn't writing for EGM. And like, I don't know, like that's where Destructoid came from, which is what eventually gave me, you know, my first step into game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in community college when this show started, and I was working at the copy center on campus. I looked like the cross between Jay and Silent Bob. Like, I wore like a backwards trucker hat and like Dickie shorts every day, and had like hair down to here. That was
Red. Let's get a Photoshop. Let's see what that looks like.
Maybe that. Maybe that was 2006.
See what that looks
anyway. But no, like, I got my first start in writing something for other people. Like, I started doing stuff with the school paper at my college. And like, one of the first things I had to do was actually, oh my God, how did you do that?
What did
you, okay. We got old footage of me and Scott Bromley doing Mono impressions.
You look exactly the same.
Yeah, there. I look pretty much the same. That's black and white footage. That's not from 2007.
It's from 1997. It's black and white footage. Is obviously 1997.
Obviously, it's old because it's not in color yet.
Yeah.
One of the first things I had to do that was like publishing a game related thing was I think it was like Christmas 2006, maybe 2007. It was at the time where people were like, do I get a Wii, a PS3, a 360? And so I made this graphic that was like a police lineup of like the different controllers.
Nice.
And it was just so much drop shadow, just terrible. And it was like, you know, it got printed in like a newspaper. It's that was, I mean, I guess they still probably have school papers and stuff, but it was weird to be like, you know, that was having a thing you worked on get like put somewhere else that was out of your control is kind of a wonderful feeling.
2007 was the year the Wii launched, right? Or no?
That was 2006.
2006, okay. Yeah.
So that was, I mean, 2007 is really sort of when that generation of gaming was kind of hitting full stride.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think brings us to our next topic.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best year in gaming?
Oof.
2007. Is it 2007?
I'm going 2017.
I actually don't believe 2007, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the huge stuff. I think 2007 was a really significant year that sort of marked the beginning of modern gaming.
Yes.
Which is a hard thing to pinpoint, but like that is really a bunch of stuff kind of shifted that year, and a bunch of huge franchises started that we are still talking about today that have really became like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of emblematic of what, you know, the gaming landscape looks like. GTA 4 came out. That was, you know, one of the biggest games of the year. And it was, I think it was interesting because that was Rockstar getting more serious.
Mm-hmm.
That was their first foray into like, this is bordering on realistic. You know, it was still goofy, still cartoony. It still had like Mad Magazine business names, but it was like, they were starting to kind of rein things in a bit compared to, you know, what eventually, you know, happened in 5. Like 5 is pretty.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you could also take your cousin bowling.
So I went to the midnight launch for that at a GameStop in New Jersey. And I accidentally cosplayed as Niko Bellic because that's exactly how I looked at the time.
Yeah. You had no hair that time as well.
Yeah, or like a little bit.
And you had the fingerless gloves, you know.
I honestly
helicopter getting there.
I smoked cigarettes, so I probably did have fingerless gloves for some dumb reason where I was just like, "Oh, this is cool."
It was the
earth through your finger.
It was the 2000s. We did a lot of fashion things that just did not make a lot of sense back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was also Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, which it's funny looking at, like, we are all like, Call of Duty again, an annualized thing. That didn't get annualized until 2, I think. Like,
yeah.
Like a 3-year gap, 2 or 3-year gap between the first one and the second one. And at that point, it was like, oh, cool, they're making a new one. And then it's also, you're like, oh, it's like a Saving Private Ryan game series, whatever. It's like a Medal of Honor competitor.
Modern Warfare.
And then Modern Warfare was like,
it changed that game. And I'm not a Call of Duty guy, but that game changed gaming forever.
I lost weeks to that game. Like, it was just so like just gripping on me and my friend group. Like, that was all we played. Like,
yeah,
it was. And when none of us were big Call of Duty fans before that, because all the previous ones were like just remasters of Call of Duty 1, remaster of Call of Duty 2, like these PC Call of Duty games that were bringing out, that came out then on like the PS2.
Uh-huh.
They did like the Big Red 1 edition.
Oh yeah,
Big Red 1,
Big Red 1.
Yeah, it was like Big Red 1 edition.
Former PS3 slogan.
The Big Red 1.
You know, it had Clifford in there somewhere.
Okay.
but yeah, no, like this one came out and it just was so just fundamentally different from all the previous Call of Duties. Like, we had seen Call of Duty 3 with the 360s launch when they ported it over, and it was starting to kind of get into that online play and like competitive landscape. but it just, it didn't take off as well as I'm sure Activision wanted to. And then they dropped this. Well, and
yeah, the other thing that happened in 2007 was Halo 3 had dropped, which
yep, that too.
And people loved the multiplayer of that. And then Modern Warfare, I think, rode that wave, and it was 100%. Multi-platform, so it really, it clicked in a lot of ways there.
And it was more realistic, so people who didn't were like, I don't want to shoot aliens, because I'm too cool to shoot aliens.
Also, like, I want to play a World War II shooter. That's old. Those guns are made of wood. It's like...
But no, it's a fitting title, Modern Warfare, because it really was sort of the marked the beginning of what, you know, gaming is still... feeling those influences. Like, it's still, we're still kind of getting that.
Still the best-selling franchise every single year.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that game.
Yep. Straight up. And then we also got BioShock, which...
Best game of the year, hands down.
Opposite end of the shooter spectrum is, like, it really makes you think. Do you... multiplayer.
Do you all remember, like, downloading that demo and playing that the beginning of that game?
Mm-hmm.
And... like your ship crash landing in the water and then you swimming to a tower and then going in the tower and ending up in BioShock was like, there was at the time, I think that was the most impressive, like, first 15 minutes of any video game ever.
That's what got me to buy a 360.
Yeah.
That BioShock literally is what was the reason, because it was a 360 exclusive at launch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's what made me buy a 360, because one of my coworkers was like just touting this game and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, let me give it a try. And I was just blown away. Like this.
The water on fire and like the little like elevator submarine stuff. And then seeing the whales outside of the city was just like, I was like, the design, like, philosophy in this game is off the chart. Like, there's I've never seen anything like this before. It's so cool.
I mean, it's the equivalent of like a really just amazing establishing shot or like opening.
Yeah.
It's it's an opening, but I think it really also just, it does so much to completely present what's going to happen, which is not, you know, what's going to happen, but really
like pull you into the world so you know what to expect. Not what you don't know what to expect.
It is a thesis statement.
Yes. Yeah.
It very much is upfront with what's going on. And
you got a good list here so far, Max.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, 2007 was legit. There was also, and again, apologies for talking about what were at one point, you know, Xbox exclusives on a PlayStation show, but also Mass Effect, which was kind of the beginning of, I mean, BioWare had done Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. They had done Neverwinter Nights and stuff like that. A bunch of RPGs, but I feel like Mass Effect was the first one that was like, this is a kind of crossover RPG, because it's got like shooting in it. It's got like action, more heavy action mechanics. And it's also proof that they could deliver a big epic space opera without a Star Wars license.
Yeah.
You know, it established itself as like original IP, and we're still talking about it. We're still waiting for whatever the next one is.
I had very mixed feelings about Mass Effect when it first dropped. Like I was like very excited, and I was like, BioWare, sweet. I loved KOTOR. And I got to the Citadel, and then I fell asleep one night and I never turned the game back on again. I've since gone back and beaten them, but
of course,
like, but like at that time I was like, I'm so bored, like walking around the Citadel talking to everybody, because you guys know me, I'm a completionist. So I got to go talk to everybody. I got to go get all the quests. I got to find all the stuff like before I can move on. It's a thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Assassin's Creed. That was
the first one. Yeah.
Like, that dropped that year, which is like, I mean, it's crazy that kind of the birth of the modern open world game there.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed with stealth, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Like the fact that we had GTA 4 that year, which obviously revolutionized open world games, but that was all like guns out blazing, right? Like this is a city where everybody sees you and you're shooting everyone, driving cars. And Assassin's Creed was just like, you're sneaking up behind people, you're shanking them, and then you're hiding.
Well, that was like that totally like chocolate and peanut butter combination.
Yeah.
Stealth and open world. You're like, what? And also, I feel like it was, I mean, there's definitely stuff where they would like cordon you off with the Animus and like mission structure.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the exploration went, I think it was more, I honestly can't remember the first one that well, but like, you know, compared to GTA, where it was always like, you'd get to a toll booth and they're like, you can't go here yet.
Yeah.
You haven't unlocked the second island. Like there was always, it was kind of like locked off, which was sometimes like technical limitations or, you know, gameplay limitations. But I feel like, you know, this, the modern, you know, done to death, open world game that Ubisoft churns out is still really close to what this was.
Yeah.
Like it's still very much has that kind of those guts to it. And
the costume design on the assassin was incredibly inspired at the time too. Like this is not like video game protagonists didn't look like this. Nothing really looked like this. Right. I mean, we had guys with hoodies in the previous generation and like, you know, Mark Echo's getting up or whatever, but like, like the assassin, design was just super, super cool.
This is the one game that I was so hyped for at launch that I ended up returning, like,
oh, really?
Right off the bat. Like, I was so, like, I loved everything about the design of the game, but the gameplay itself was just so minimal.
It was definitely an almost, and they definitely, there we go, Mark Echoes getting up.
Yes, yeah. For the PS2 and Xbox.
The Assassin's Creed 2 is when they were like, okay, this, now it's
on. That's what got me to go back and play 1, is like, I played 2, and I was like, okay, let me go finish 1, because I want to know what happened.
Well, that's so often the case. I mean, look at Mass Effect 2 is where they stuck the landing there. Yep. And it's, we also got Portal in the orange box that year. Which was, you know, Team 4 as well, which is just wild.
But to have one of the best games ever made slipped quietly into a collection of other incredible games is unfathomable.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
Like, you don't just get, you know, they don't just go like, hey, we're going to throw
Wind Waker in here with Tears of the Kingdom. Like, you're going to get that, like...
Like, you buy Tears of the Kingdom and there's quietly just another classic Zelda game sitting there. Like, Portal was mind-blowing at the time. Like, the Portal was...
also Half-Life 2.
Oh, my God.
Stuff. And, just... the orange box...
Team Fortress.
How dare you? Like, what a flex. Like, what? Like,
seriously.
Valve, and then they're like, where's Half-Life 3? And it's like, shut up. Look what they just knocked that out of
you got your value back in 2007, guys. You're not due till 2027.
They don't need to make a game for 16 years. Well, I mean, they did Alex and all that, but...
Just like the idea of opening up, like hitting the start menu on this game and then just having that this choice.
Yeah, we get that now with like remastered collections and stuff like that, but this was unheard of in 2007.
Yeah. And Portal was such a big thing. Like...
And that was a kind of meta narrative, self aware sense of humor that is often cringy.
I just can't wait for the cake. I can't wait for the cake to get here for Beyond's 800th birthday today.
Cake, I did promise cake. What could go wrong?
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Witcher launched in 2007, which is unrecognizable compared to what that series
The first
is.
Witcher, yeah.
Yes. First Witcher from a little tiny Polish studio, which was, I think, running on the KOTOR engine. And I remember one of the either CDPR guys or the just regular PR guys was talking about how, like, they, you know, they have like the biggest, most crazy presence at E3 now when mm-hmm. they're showing off Cyberpunk and stuff like that. But back then they had like a little, they had like folding chairs in a conference room, and they're like, please look at our game, check it out, this is about
this 2007, I don't know if the E3 was back at the airport or if it was at the convention center, but there was an area in the LA Convention Center called Kensha Hall, mm-hmm. which the longtime listeners will probably recognize as like a place where, like, that's where like the Telltale's The Walking Dead was first debuted. And it was just like these like seven bathroom sized booths with no fanfare in between the main two giant halls at E3. And there were just like, you would just go in there and it was like, hey, please clap, you know, like a lot of really tiny games were in there that went on to become some of the biggest franchises on Earth. So it's
Speaking of humble beginnings and all that, Uncharted launched in 2007.
Did you segue humble beginnings with like I can't remember. I'm terrible.
We want to talk a little bit about sort of Uncharted in a little bit, but I think, 2007, really, really killer year for gaming.
Incredibly strong argument
really
there.
Really phenomenal, but we are obnoxious people who can't agree on things.
Yeah.
So we each picked competitive years for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's, Jada, why don't you kick this off?
So it's 2017, 10 years later. This is when, you know, PS4 is in full swing. My game of the year for that year was Nier Automata. That game was just
phenomena.
Automata. But Nier Automata, just a fantastic freaking RPG from Square, from like a long lost, like, or not long lost, but a franchise that really just hadn't been a lot done with it. Just storytelling, just the gameplay, just top notch. The soundtrack, I listen to the soundtrack regularly.
Okay, we got like three pages of games, so we should rapid fire this.
Yep. Horizon Zero Dawn. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, that series is going strong. We're going to get another one. Just heard about that today. Mm-hmm. Prey. Which, you know, obviously had a little bit of bumps at the start, but solid game. We got Uncharted Lost Legacy, so mm-hmm. Uncharted still kicking strong. Evil Within 2, mm-hmm. Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
Sonic Mania. Sonic came back. Sonic was good again.
Yeah.
Finally, Brian.
Finally.
Gravity Rush 2, Neo, Assassin's Creed Origins. Assassin's Creed reinvented their formula. Mm-hmm. And then we got Cuphead, which was a fantastic platformer. I freaking love Cuphead. And we also got Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey that
year.
Like, was 2017?
A strong theme in 2017 is that, so Resident Evil, Assassin's Creed, and Zelda, at the time, incredibly long-running, beloved, classic video game franchises that completely reinvented themselves successfully.
Yes.
That is incredibly hard to do, and all three of those things did that year. Yep. Like, how insane was it when they were like, Resident Evil is a first person game now, but it is stylistically within the roots of the original game, but now it's also set in some like backwoods trash house in New Orleans,
but also it connects to the main timeline, maybe?
Yeah,
mark? Who knows?
I think whatever that plate of spaghetti is.
Brian, what about you?
So I went with 2020, and the reason I want to contextualize that is because 2020 fucking sucked.
Yeah.
On a social level, on a public health level, on a being alive on planet Earth level, and we needed video games that year, arguably more than we've ever have in
video
history.
Video games did a lot of heavy lifting.
Yes, they let us explore magical, distinct worlds that were on our TVs in places where we couldn't go anywhere, really. So 2020 had The Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima,
another banger.
Doom Eternal,
another banger.
Animal Crossing New Horizons, brand new next gen console launches with the
big banger
PS5 and the Series X and S, Spider-Man Miles Morales, launch title, Demon's Souls remake, launch title, Astro's Playroom, launch title. We had Final Fantasy VII remake
RPG
that year
banger.
With Hades. We had Microsoft Flight Simulator, Yakuza Like a Dragon, Hyrule Warriors, which I can take or leave, Streets of Rage 4, awesome, Star Wars Squadrons, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Genshin Impact, and Half-Life Alyx.
I might like 2020 better.
There's a lot of really so good stuff good. In there. I put some filler in there, right? Like Ori and Genshin and like those are big games.
But those had some good impact though. Like,
for sure.
I mean,
Genshin
is freaking
Genshin had a considerable impact.
Yeah.
They chose that name perfectly.
No. But to the fact that we started that year in like such a dark place, and we ended that year with the console launches, despite the fact that it seemed like that wouldn't happen, and we spent like getting to run around in Ghost of Tsushima in photo mode in when they closed the playground next to my house. I couldn't take my kid anywhere, but I was like running around feudal Japan, and I was like, okay, this is Animal Crossing. Like, you know, obviously the heavy
Animal Crossing
control
prevented a lot of suicides.
Yeah.
Like that full on kept people from that was having friends over to your island, like checking stuff out.
We had The Last of Us 2, which was probably a little on the nose for the timeline.
I bounced off of that one because it was too real.
But
we also got Resident Evil 3 remake, which opens with "There's a horrible pandemic," and I was like, "Yeah, there is."
Yeah,
let me fight Nemesis.
I mean, Demon's Souls remake, Astro's Playroom, one of the best launch games ever made. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Like, do you know how much I missed New York City that year? And I didn't get on an airplane. I didn't get go home to see family, and I was just like,
yeah, it opens with that dude speed running a mall at Christmas time. Like, it's
yeah. Like, I spent a lot of time in Miles Morales just walking because I was like, I missed this.
Yeah. This is my favorite bodega.
Yeah. It's
good stuff.
That's my case.
Pretty huge. So I love 2015. That's mine.
Okay.
And there's a lot of personal favorites there. We got Bloodborne, obviously.
I mean, there was no other year that could have been your favorite.
It's one of my all-time favorite games, right up there with Metal Gear Solid 5. And people are like, I never finished it. I said, neither did Kojima. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, that's a phenomenal game. Yep. Also, The Witcher 3, Fallout 4. There were some very, very big, big games there.
Man.
That is, I mean, I think that is the year that this last generation hit its stride.
Yeah.
Rise of the Tomb Raider came out the same day as Fallout 4 as an Xbox One exclusive, which is unfortunately why I feel like I kind of got slept on.
One of the
best.
Yeah.
Best in the trilogy.
That is
hands down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also one of the most notorious, like, bad launch day.
Yep.
Flubs in history, I would say.
Rocket League, kind of a smaller thing, but that launched on PlayStation Plus as like a little car soccer game, and it spun out to a massive
e-sport.
You can't just show me Bloodborne footage like
that. We can watch more Bloodborne.
It just means I have to go home and dump another 100 hours into that
game.
I can't look at it.
That's how I get Brian to not do any work. I just send him clips of Bloodborne.
I know. It's
not even me doing anything.
It's like if I'm a dog, you put peanut butter on my nose.
It's not even me doing anything. It's just me idle in the town. Just like, hey, look.
We also got, I'm not done yet. There's more here. There's also Dying Light. There's Ori and the Blind Forest. There's Until Dawn. There's Mortal Kombat 10. There's Undertale. And then on the licensed front, there was Batman Arkham Knight, Mad Max, and Star Wars Battlefront. And I know that you kind of came around on two. I still like the first one better. I feel like it's
Battlefront?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got such a goddamn clean design. And that was also, I don't know, had its faults, but also was just like a really gorgeous game.
I spent dozens of it was also like the Force Awakens had just come out, and Star Wars fever was in the air again, and getting to play like a big gorgeous 3D next gen Star Wars game was just awesome.
And then finally, and this is easy to forget because it keeps getting re-released for other stuff, but GTA 5 came out on PS4 and Xbox One.
That's right.
And they did a considerable amount to like improve that game compared to the previous version.
Right.
Added a whole first person mode, and then you can eat peyote and turn into animals.
Yeah, as that's right.
Those are the two features that most games need added. It's just I don't care.
GTA 5 is potentially on all of our years, by the way.
I mean, that's exactly. That's like that is the definitive edition of that game. They added what, cell shading to the new one or something, but you know, they spruced it up, and it's a hell of a game. What do you think?
I'm interested with the audience. Remember, this is since Beyond started in 2006.
Seven.
2007.
Yeah.
Six.
Seven.
Seven.
2007.
Seven. We know numbers.
Bad at math.
But thank you for the segue. That's actually perfect. The Sony E3 presser in 2006 is infamous as one of the most sort of just damning things that they ever did. That was when they said the PlayStation 3 is $599.
$599 US dollars. $599 US dollars.
Someone just fell over in the back of the room and said, no, don't worry, it's fine. People will get second jobs to pay for it. It'll be cool.
I did.
It's Ridge Racer.
I got a third job.
Ridge Racer.
You have to pronounce the R's like
Ridge.
Going around a corner.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah, and then there was the giant enemy crab, which is a historically accurate arthropod.
This is based on historic battles in feudal Japan. Anyway, here's this giant enemy.
Everybody loves to crap all over that press event because it was really kind of a wreck. However, it's also when Uncharted was revealed, and I feel like this doesn't get talked about enough because
possibly
stop showing Days of the Blade. Days of the Blade are over. It is now
giant crab.
It's now Days of Play.
Crab.
Look at that. That's a great crab.
It's a great crab design.
That was a good crab. We don't mean to make fun of the crab. It's a good crab, but it would never happen.
Uncharted was revealed at the most like dunked on.
Phil Harrison came out and was like, "Oh, we have a great studio called Naughty Dog. They make a lot of very cool games. They sold millions of copies, and they have something new they've been working on." And I'll let the video speak for itself. And then they showed.
It's a great impression.
Thanks. Yeah, I watched this video a bunch to really get it down. But no, this is also just feels like a complete anomaly in terms of how things get revealed and presented.
Right.
This wasn't like a big mysterious CG trailer. This wasn't like a logo reveal. This wasn't, we have a new game we're working on. We're excited for you to hear more. It's here's one of our studios. They're working on something. Here's gameplay. Like, they just showed off, like, here's Nathan Drake, who was unnamed at that point, running around in the jungle shooting people. And it's a completely different design from what we wound up getting. They're showing, you know, they showed a lot of, like, boats and drawings and stuff, mm-hmm. and a lot of environmental stuff. But then it just fully gets into gameplay.
Huge leap from your typical Naughty Dog game at the time, too, right? Like,
but the thing I keep coming back to, like, this is such a bizarre, and Nate looks borderline cartoony. Like, I feel like he looks more in line with the Nathan Drake Fortnite skin than he does with the modern Nathan Drake character design. And he's got Converse All-Stars on, which he sort of does. He's got like kind of weird, I don't know, alternate color scheme in his later versions, which again, really bad shoe to do climbing and jumping and mud stuff. Muddy
I always
stuff
rock climbing my Chucks.
it seems very bad for all parts of your body, but it especially weird because they're like colorful, and he's got this like raglan shirt on, which just makes him look a lot more cartoony, you know.
Look, if you're going to do stealth in the jungle, number one shirt to wear, red.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, well, I mean, like if you're Connor's murdering everybody and there's just blood everywhere,
that's a good call.
That's right.
The thing is, I'm so used to like Nathan Drake having like boots, which a good adventure shoe, whatever, to wear. But then in this early version, he's just got like regular ass Chucks on and like, you know.
And so, Max, in the original Nathan or Uncharted reveal trailer, we didn't get the name Nathan Drake, and we didn't get the name Uncharted.
No, they didn't say the name. It ends on the Naughty Dog logo, which is just crazy to me that they're like, hey, when is the last time? I mean, I guess, I don't know. I feel like, is that following like Cloverfield logic? That was maybe pre-Cloverfield even, but it was,
I mean,
the whole thing was like showing a footage of something, showing the actual thing, but then not telling you what it is just a bizarre choice. I feel like if they had announced that it's called Uncharted, that might have kind of saved their ass a little bit from that press conference, because all of the coverage about it is like, there's a cool Caribbean game that they're showing off that might
it was
happen.
It was all the PS3 price. It was all Ridge Racer. Mm-hmm. It was all Giant Enemy Crab. That was one of those first like super cuts you saw on YouTube of somebody, a video probably has a million views. I don't even know who did it. Would chopped up that press conference into just the pieces to dunk on. Right. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting that like Uncharted came from that. And that is, so that is a franchise synonymous with PlayStation at this point. It got like a movie a couple of years ago. It's got several sequels. Like,
well, it's funny because going back and looking at the sort of the written coverage of this, and like IGN has a write-up about when this was first shown off, and it's so funny because it's like, it just seems, you know, it's oblivious. It's detached. They have no idea what they're saying about it because it's a totally unknown quantity.
Right.
IGN wrote, action looks like a mix of Tomb Raider and Metal Gear, which is not first one, sure. Second one, I guess. With a dash of parkour, freestyle, street leaping, which is a term for that. Street leaping is not
street leaping.
Yeah. I didn't see a single street in the trailer. Well,
I guess that was, I remember like, was it free running? Like there were different terms for parkour, but we eventually just settled on parkour as like the household name.
Yeah.
I also remember being in summer camp and we didn't say third person. We just said Tomb Raider view.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like 10 or something.
No, for
oh,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
It was like, I was thinking, what are the games were out then that everyone knew as that viewpoint? And like a bunch, but that was like one of the most.
I think I only knew third person just because like messing around in like camera settings for like, different games mm-hmm. or whatnot, and there was like a first person or a third person mm-hmm. view for certain mm-hmm. games. I think like no Time Splitters was only third person.
No, I think we'd say Tomb Raider view or Doom view. But anyway, another write-up says the animation system looked astoundingly nice and fluid, but the game's overall look still had a little bit of that plastic inhumanity to it that some next gen games suffer from in the faces and textures, which feels like. Not really enough caveats that this is like early footage.
Yeah,
it feels like oddly judgmental of something, which again is being shown off at a press conference. So you got to give them some credit for that. This is my favorite part, though. It was also a jungle full of leaves, but there just wasn't enough dirt yet in this video. And what a strange criticism.
Not enough dirt.
Yeah.
Too much water, not enough dirt.
Right?
You know, I mean, you can't win.
Yeah. Really.
I like this quote from Engadget.
Mud.
So Engadget did some digging around like a month afterwards, and they said, voice actor Robin Atkin Downs has posted an online resume, including a Naughty Dog project called, quote, Big. After an IGN contacted Sony representatives, it was confirmed that at the very least, Big is an internal name for the PS3 Naughty Dog project. So it's not an official name, but the boys and girls at Naughty Dog believe the game to be ... well, comma, sizable.
I mean, it's got to step in those Tom Hanks Big shoes, so it had to be like big.
It is interesting that the text in this one says something about like some curses
can't be undone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the first one does the first one end in with supernatural elements?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Like, I think, so that was supernatural elements has been, like, a core thing for most of them.
A couple,
one and
yeah.
two is what, for sure. I'm trying to remember three. I think three had something.
Mummies.
Two had yetis. Was it mummies in three?
I know.
Was that scarabs?
Three was scarabs,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then it was four had just regular-ass mummies that blew up.
Like that's right. Yeah, that's what it was.
Mummies with bombs in them, which was like a funny, almost supernatural thing. It's like, I got killed by a mummy that had a claymore in it. Sure, yeah. Why not?
And then Lost Legacy had Frankenstein. As you
there we go.
Yep.
He wasn't in that. Sorry.
It was actually the doctor too. It wasn't the monster. It was Dr.
That's true.
Dr. Frankenstein. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. Robin Atkin Downs voiced the main villain from Uncharted 1, and a bunch of a bajillion other things. But yeah, I love that is the ongoing history of just people's resumes spoiling things. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. Like,
I feel like that was a safe thing, like putting it on your resume back then when the internet was still very young. That was a very safe thing to do.
Yeah.
And nowadays, now it's like, hey, you can't add this.
Well, a lot of things now.
Put my resume up. That's how I'm going to get a job. It's like,
things now is they'll be like, Naughty Dog on LinkedIn is hiring a multiplayer zombie expert, and you're like,
new Uncharted game may have levels.
Yeah.
Like, what? All right, they hired a level designer. No, but this is also really weird to think about, is because at that point, Naughty Dog was respected as a PlayStation studio, but it also was like they'd done, Jack and Daxter and Crash Bandicoot, and then like a 3DO game that everyone hated.
Yep.
But it was all cartoony stuff. Like they had never attempted to do anything remotely realistic. And now we look at them as like the absolute pinnacle of like performance capture.
Yeah.
Right.
And it all started with Uncharted. And it's kind of crazy to look back at that and just, I mean, who could have seen that coming? Like, who would have anticipated that we'd wind up with like
nobody in those who wrote those notes there?
Obviously. I'm going to go leave a mean comment on this 16-year-old blog post. Yeah,
just leave a little smiley face at the end and they'll know that you're
new. I'm gonna go sign their guest book. I'm gonna go let them have it. One thing I also want to talk about in terms of sort of PlayStation goings on is PSX, which is a thing that I kind of miss. I kind of wish they would bring it back.
I miss it a lot.
I so miss PSX, especially when it was here in San Francisco, so I didn't have to go anywhere extravagant to get to it.
I like it when things happen close to me, so it's less work for me to go and
exactly.
get on a plane. I just got on the BART and just got went over.
I just walked there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's right there. But Jada, you did a bunch of digging about PSX.
Yeah.
Found some wonderful highlights.
So, like, my first year was 2015 here in SF, and I thought that was the first year for PSX, but I was, I don't know, I guess couple days old when I discovered that there was one in Vegas in 2014, the year before. It was their kind of kickoff for it. And so I looked back at that. Each of the years they did, there was 4 years of PSX. They had anywhere from 80 to 130 different games that were on the floor playable over the 4 years, which is just crazy. Capcom partnered with PlayStation for it. They had the Capcom Cup for three of the final 3 years, where we had pros playing Street Fighter 4 and 5, like winning money, like big cash prizes, which was just crazy. And that was like a big thing. 2014 was in Vegas. That's where Street Fighter 5 was announced.
Weird.
Yeah. This is our first like look at Chun-Li and Ryu fighting. It was
practically unrecognizable.
Right?
Can't believe what they did.
We got Sony Santa Monica's Drawn to Death game, which was just on the screen.
Right.
You forget Sony Santa Monica did Drawn to Death because like they're just so synonymous. It's just God of War. Sony Santa Monica. That's all you think about is God of War when you hear their
right,
name.
Right, right.
And they did, but they did Drawn to Death. The Forest was revealed, which is, you know, ex-panelist Mark Medina's, like, one of his favorite games of all times.
Yeah.
I'm always going to refer to him as ex-panelist just because it messes with them. Hi, Mark. Bloodborne had the Chalice Dungeons revealed at in Vegas in 2014. And then they also did a 20 years of PlayStation celebration in Little Big Planet 3, where they recreated a bunch of big PlayStation moments in Little Big Planet.
That was really cool.
And it was a very cool little trailer. It had like Twisted Metal and...
It feels like a precursor to Astrobot.
I was going to say that to me, that felt like Sony started to become fully self-aware that they had a legacy, they had a lineage, and they had some awesome fans who really loved a lot of their stuff. And like Nintendo was always really good about that, you know, back padding, like referential stuff of like, you've been here for a long time. But that's when Sony really started to kick in and be like, oh yeah, we have an awesome library here.
20th anniversary that was.
Yeah, they
have some mileage there to or you know, some road behind you, whatever.
Remember those 20th anniversary PS4s?
Yes, they had like the gray ones with like the original PlayStation logo.
So gorgeous.
So cool.
I'm so bummed I didn't get that.
Same. 2015 moved to SF. Like I said, we got the first gameplay for Final Fantasy VII Remake at that conference. Like, I was literally brought to tears sitting in the audience watching that.
2015
was the first gameplay reveal. So like they had announced it previously, and they had shown off like
the really
story
cool cinematic.
Trailers,
yeah,
but this one had the really cool cinematic and showed the gameplay and like what it would actually look like
was
playing
it. Train station part.
It was train station, and I think there's a couple other little segments they cut in.
That was 8 years ago. And we're still, when's the next part out?
End of the year.
Later.
End
okay,
of the year.
Yeah.
Greatness awaits, Brian.
We got a Ratchet 2016 gameplay demo. This is when they like remastered Ratchet and Clank, the first, the original.
They had
the movie and stuff that they were promoting and stuff like that.
I totally forgot they had the Ratchet and Clank movie.
Yep.
I miss Sean Layden on stage, by the way.
I think that's one of the things I miss most about PSX was there was such synergy and such just like great like just hosts being on and throwing to each other and messing. There's like at one point it's like, how many people are here to give, you know, Shuhei Yoshida a hug? Like, it's just like totally just enjoying and like taking their victory laps and like we know everybody's here to have a good time. We got another Sony Santa Monica game, which was Modern Zombie VR reveal from
Out?
I don't remember, and I forgot to look that one up. We got an announcement for Ni No Kuni 2, and then we also got Paragon was revealed, was a fantastic little MOBA for the consoles, but unfortunately got shut down and is now coming back to life, apparently. Yeah, it's coming back. Somehow, yeah. At one point, they made all the models free online, so anybody could take their models and use them in their projects with whatever license.
Which is extremely cool.
I do remember that.
But yeah, Paragon is supposedly coming back.
I've like actively thought of that game and tried to remember what it was called and just given up.
Yeah,
I was like, I could Google it, but I don't want to.
What messed me up was there was a restaurant down the street from IGN during all of this called Paragon, and we used to take guests there for Up at Noon all the time. And so I would go and like have a drink and lunch with devs, game devs there, and then come up the street and talk about video games. And then the exact same time there was a game, it was too much information for me. Plus the alcohol.
Move forward to the next year. Move to Anaheim for its final 2 years. 2016, we got the first look at Last of Us Part II.
Yeah.
So that was a fantastic year. We got the first look at Uncharted 4.
Really?
Yeah. We got a deeper look at Horizon Zero Dawn. It's when they revealed like the machines trailer. And so like they talked about like the machines and stuff that were going to be in Horizon.
I want to say this was my first PSX.
And then the kicker that probably, I don't know, it either like made this the best year or started its decline. Knack 2 was revealed at PSX 2016.
Right.
So for you Knack 2 fans out there,
that marks the beginning of Sony's downfall. We remain to see if that actually happens, but we're blaming Knack if it happens.
Next slogan, Knack won't return.
Yeah.
The following
Knack died on the way back to his home planet.
2017, also in Anaheim, we had the medieval, however you want to pronounce it. Medieval. that was announced. We got Last Guardian VR announcement,
right?
Which I forgot that had a VR component. Wipeout Omega Collection VR announcement. And then Brian, you were there at 2017 in Anaheim. You hosted the Ghost of Tsushima developer panel.
That's right. That was, yes, I was, I interviewed the team behind Ghost of Tsushima at Sucker Punch before. Like, we knew a lot about that game.
Did we have a trailer at that point?
No.
There was a teaser that played beforehand, and it was like all like dialogue over it and just like a bunch of like, almost like.
We had like that one shot of Jin.
It was, yeah, I think it ended on one shot of Jin, but like it went through all these like images of like Japanese culture and stuff like that and things like that. And then, but yeah.
That was really fun because I got to come out and it was just like this. I mean, the crowd at PSX was awesome.
I mean, the announcer was like, and now your host for the next section, Brian Altano. And I was like, dang, Brian.
Yeah. And so I don't know. Like, I was always rooting for that game.
We did a panel there.
This is not the one. This isn't the right clip, but yeah, that's our panel we did.
And then I think.
Pull it off.
I specifically remember I forgot to buzz my head right before that. And so like I felt like scraggly.
Everyone was like, get a haircut.
Yeah. If it gets too long. But yeah, I got to talk with like the art directors and creative directors and everything like that around that game. And we didn't have a lot to show yet, but I just remember being like so excited hearing about it. And then the more and more we found out about that game, the more excited I got. And then it became one of my favorite open world games.
I remember like all the talk about Ghost of Tsushima beforehand. This was before I joined IGN and I was at Fandom and I like had sat in with dinner and was talking with people and they're trying to figure out how to market this game to where it's not just seen as an Assassin's Creed clone.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want it to look like it looks kind of Assassin's Creed with its open world and the stealth kills, but like it's so not Assassin's Creed. It's so much, it's so different. And it really was.
God, I miss PSX.
So, yeah. I miss PSX. I hope we get more PSX. I want that to bring it back. It was a good time.
There we go. Like
nature is healing, what have you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of PlayStation games, as we're prone to on this show, I have been tinkering around with AI using computers to make new games that don't exist. And I made one that someone requested last week. Everyone's pretty excited about the new Twisted Metal show, a Peacock original. So I give you Twisted Metal, a Peacock original,
that is nightmare fuel.
A video game. And so what I did was I went on there's like an image generator thing and I said, you know, make me Sweet Tooth and make me Twisted Metal cool cars. And I think I said, put Anthony Mackie in there somewhere and give me the Twisted Metal. And I cobbled them together and created this box art with original Sweet Tooth, who I think looks pretty good.
Why is his hands blue?
I also used computer-generated AI text to write a description and gameplay features. And Brian, I would like you to read what Twisted Metal and Peacock original a video game is all about.
I'm gonna say that. Are these cars made of skin?
Does that say it's coming on Peacock?
It took, yeah, no. So
it says Petroit Patini. Yeah. Sounds like something Starbucks sells.
I uploaded the graphic for here. Show it off to the camera there so you can kind of get a better look.
You don't want to look too closely. Deeply horrifying.
Those of you listening, like, please, like, come to the video and look at this because it is nightmare.
The rating is not pending
the
here.
Cars it's, all look like NC-17. Intestines. So they, you know.
That's what it is.
I uploaded the poster they put out, the official one that we, I think, put on the IGN Twitter that has Anthony Mackie in his, you know, his car. It says Twisted Metal. And I uploaded it and said, make this logo say Twisted Metal, the video game. And it just said, it just made it say like peep-pop-yup on the top. Like it made it say less words.
Yeah, Pitor Pacini or whatever.
Yeah, Pitor Pacini.
Let's read what's on the back.
Does say it.
Twisted Metal, a Peacock original, a video game, thank you, was created by Frank Herbert, who is renowned computer scientist. This plot consisted of three characters, a boy and a girl, who both used a toy gun to... parentheses Tom Brady.
What?
Keep going.
To attack their uncle, and they all had guns. This plot also included the creation of the two puppy rat type dogs and the creation of three kids who would then be the puppy rat children.
That's
These three
for context. I typed in Twisted Metal Peacock Original, a video game, and basically just hit shuffle. The rest is I did not editorialize.
What is the Puppy Rat Children?
I don't know who's writing that on the internet. It's pulling stuff in, putting it out there.
It's got to be some Fallout like pulled stuff.
God. These three characters were used to train the gun, which used to be a gun with a gun handle. The plot was then told from the perspective of the player character and the character having guns, quotes again, Tom Brady. In fact, this is not actually the first time a computer game with multiple characters has been shown. That's fucking huge. Not the first computer game with multiple characters. You get the, I mean, not the first one. There's been ones before. Some of you might have been confused by that.
I was.
Anthony Mackie, finally, the star is here. Stars is a young boy. Oh, that's going to be tough for him, considering he's an adult man.
No, they got CG.
Who wants his uncle to leave a lot of uncle stuff. Who wants his uncle to leave the house and comes across a wall with a large gold sword, gun, and a gun, quotes a third time, Tom Brady.
I don't know why.
During this encounter, the player character has a gun, guns, and a gun handle that are used to shoot, again, you guessed it, Tom Brady. Fan favorite character Sweet Tooth, he's finally here, will use guns to hunt down kids, Tom Brady. Gameplay features. Breaking up a farm.
It's accurate. I've run over a couple farms in Twisted Metal days.
Balancing your... The farms don't like all the cars driving around. Balancing your party. Breaking up the farm, an important part of the game, is challenging yourself to be creative and find new strategies to handle the aggressive farming AI and aggressive fighting system. Okay, so this farm had it coming. trying to avoid being called a farmer.
That's the real challenge right there, is doing all that farming and not getting called a farmer.
You can call me whatever you want, but don't you dare call me a farmer. Balancing your party. This is the main gameplay system that ensures you get the most out of your role playing. And finally, you will have to balance your party.
Just in case that was not abundantly.
They just threw a threat in at the end there.
So,
God damn. This is, yeah, AI Twisted Metal, a Peacock original video game based on the show, is a terrible, terrible idea.
I think we got a hit in the making. I hope the Peacock original spreads its feathers and we get a brand new video game that features everything you just said. I think it's great.
Yeah, this game is rating pending. It is also not suitable for farmers.
Yep, no good there.
And Tom Brady.
NF, not for farmers.
We are about at time right now, but thank you both for hanging out and talking about PlayStation and goofing around. This was a really good time.
This is great.
And thank you to everybody who watched and listened and continues to do so and has done so for presumably a long time in some cases, because it's an old show. We have lots more stuff to talk about. We will be back next week with more of that. We did not get to a good chunk of our run of show here. But
seriously, from the bottom of all of our hearts to all of our beautiful puppy rat children out there.
Tom Brady is coming for you.
Yeah, he is. My little
fireman.
Our puppy rat children.
Maybe disguised as a sword made out of a golden sword gun or something. Anyway.
There's a gun and a gun and a gun handle.
If you got any suggestions for what video game I should make using that... sound off in the comments. I'm having a good time with that.
You were doing this in our meeting yesterday, and I just saw you crying.
I was like on camera.
I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Breaks our brains. Yeah. Thank you both for hanging out.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you
to everybody for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody who sent in your PlayStation memories. I have them on the sheet. We will get to those. I will force my two favorite dads at IGN to let me. Thank you guys and read your stories.
And thank you to everybody who worked on the show for years, be on camera, behind the camera, all the people at the top who didn't cancel it. You know, it's been a good run.
Yeah. And beyond.
We got at least one more episode. Beyond.
Greatness
awaits.
Beyond. Hells yeah.
Live in your world, play in ours.
Mozzarella sticks for the puppy rat children. Beyond.
Hells yeah.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.